Today, of course, is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, and one of the things I thought was interesting in that first reading about Adam and Eve is it says, and she was called Eve because she was going to be the mother of all the people in the world. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard me ever say it, but about 5 or 6 and maybe 10 years ago, once the genetic scientists broke the genetic code and they started working on genes and all those kinds of things, they discovered that every human being today alive has the mitochondrial DNA. This is the DNA, this is like the little gene that goes through the mothers. Has the mitochondrial DNA of some woman who lived in sub-Saharan Africa 200,000 years ago. We all have that gene. That means we are all related. And I don't care if you're the whitest person from Europe and the blackest person from Africa, the brownest person from Asia, we are all related, literally, genetically. So this is not just blah, blah, blah poetry from the church. This is reality. And that means we need to understand that we are truly all related. So when God forgives us and redeems us, He redeems all of us as being our brother and sister. Now today is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. Also, I want to mention too, probably in the last month or so, I probably had at least 2 people say to me, well, what has this got to do with Christmas? It's not 9 months before Christmas. That's the Annunciation. March 25th is 9 months before Christmas. Now, when we get closer to Christmas, I'll tell you why they chose December 25th as the day of his birth. But December 8th, as the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, has nothing to do with the conception of Jesus. Nothing. This has to do with the conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It means that the soul of Mary, from the very first moment of her existence, as a little zygote, as a fetus, as a newborn baby, her soul was full of the grace of God. To say the Immaculate Conception means to say that Mary was conceived without any stain of original sin in her soul. It has nothing to do with even her parents, Joachim and Anna. It means that never at any point in her existence, in her life, when those cells first received a human soul, was she without the presence of God. Now, sometimes in the history of the church, that question was debated, but little by little, the consensus in the Catholic world began to grow that there was no way that God could have allowed the sin of Adam and Eve, their selfishness, their pettiness, their silliness, their greed, there's no way that God could have allowed that sin to pollute this vessel of the Incarnation. So in 1854, on December 8th, Pope Pius IX, after receiving requests from all the bishops in the world and from all the Catholic universities in the world, that's when the Catholic universities were Catholic, in the biggest and most beautiful church in the world, St. Peter's in Rome, he met with more than 200 bishops, cardinals, archbishops, ambassadors, and thousands of Catholic people. And with great emotion, he solemnly declared, "We declare the doctrine that Mary was conceived without original sin, and that's a doctrine revealed by God, and all the faithful are obliged to believe this." Now, at that very moment that he declared that, pretty much as if on signal, all the bells in the 300 churches in Rome exploded in music, ringing out all the joyous news. And if you've ever heard bells all going off at the same time in Rome, like noon on a Sunday, it's just incredibly beautiful. Also, thousands of doves were released in the square, St. Peter's Square, and thousands of carrier pigeons took this news in all the directions. They had the little messages, and they just went out to all over the world to give this news about this great honor bestowed upon the Mother of God. And in all the 400,000 Catholic churches throughout the world, from Europe to Mexico, from Asia to the Americas, Africa to Australia, they had great feasts and ceremonies and masses to honor the Immaculate Conception of Mary. Now, some nuns asked the Pope a little later, "Holy Father, what did you feel at the moment that you declared and proclaimed the dogma of the Immaculate Conception? What was going on in your heart that afternoon of December 8th? The Holy Father turned to her gently and he said, "Sister, at that very moment I knew and I felt that this teaching, to be so clear and so beautiful a truth, this incomparable purity of the Virgin Mary, that all I could say is that my soul was filled with a joy that I had never ever felt before." And he said, he described it to her. He says, "Sister, imagine if you could gather together all the great joys of your life, your first Holy Communion, the day that you took the habit as a nun, your silver anniversary as a nun, whatever. Put it all together and you have just the tiniest idea of what my soul felt on that memorable date. So why all this joy? Why all this incredible outpouring of love and excitement and celebration? Because everyone knew in 1854 that this huge announcement was a huge affront to the cultural and intellectual and political establishment of the 19th century. The 19th century was a century par excellence of revolution, atheism, secularism, irreligion, evolution, and no-godism. The 19th century spent all of its time preparing the intellectual and social weapons for all the bloodshed of the 20th century. And the Pope understood and knew that it was vitally important to proclaim something so utterly spiritual and supernatural to counteract the atheism and the propaganda of the 19th century. And so he proclaimed the Virgin Mother as protected from the sin of Adam and Eve. Part of that was the need to preach to a proud and self-absorbed world about the reality of life. And now all of its tragedies, all of its flaws, all of its tears and evil come from sin. And sin comes from the fall of Adam and Eve, the first two humans. And he knew that we needed to meditate on how only Jesus and only his mother, having themselves escaped sin and its consequences, could therefore provide survival for us. The Pope wanted to re-explain to the whole world, the whole human race, that only God can be God and not us humans. The Pope wanted to remind us that without grace, without God, we will only cause misery to ourselves and to others, and it happens all the time. The Pope was standing on top of the world and cried out to the human race that it desperately needed Jesus and Mary, his sinless mother, or it would destroy itself. When Mary said, "Let it be done to me according to thy word," Mary turned back the tide of sin. Her attitude was the complete opposite of Adam and Eve. When God told them not to eat the fruit of the tree, and they said, "No, not your will be done, but ours." And that's the attitude that has for millions of years hurt the human race and has damned us. We would not let God be God in our lives. We would be God and not him. That was the original sin, but that, of course, is every sin. But Mary said that God's word would be good enough for her. She would let his will be done in her life. And when Mary said those words to the angel Gabriel, she gave us the greatest possible understanding of how we are to start living our lives, always to be ready and willing to do God's will. We can't be sinless. That's too late for that. But we can try to be as sinless as possible in our young lives or in our adult lives. Being sinless, being virtuous, means doing what God wants us to do in our daily lives. And how do we know what God wants us to do in our daily lives? He doesn't write us letters. First of all, he does write us in our hearts the thing we call natural law. This is God writing into our hearts very, very deeply his voice, telling us what is right or what is wrong, without so much as reading a word or hearing a sermon. God gave us this instinct, very, very deep, about very, very basic things. It's called natural law. However, sometimes the noise and the propaganda from the world, the flesh, and the devil is so loud and so confusing, things like abortion, birth control, gay marriage, that we can't figure out what the natural law is clearly anymore. So that's when we turn to the church. We need the Pope to clear away all the chaos. We'll clear all the noise and the nonsense and teach us plainly and with the authority of God what is moral and what is immoral. Not the newspapers, not the internet, not celebrities, but not the politicians either, but the church and the vicar of Christ, the Pope. So when we listen to the church and listen to natural law in our hearts as explained by the church, We are therefore following the will of God. And we will never regret doing the will of God. It may be difficult sometimes, it may be very hard, it may be shameful sometimes, because people look at us and say, are you still doing that? You still believe in that? But we will never regret it. Because doing God's will is what saved Mary, and is what will save us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.